Joshua 15. I don't know about you, but for me, when I think about boundaries, I think about signs. And specifically, those signs that folks put up when they want to keep others from approaching them, to keep others away from them. Those signs may be intended to protect business or property or culture or even religion. Those signs can read, "No trespassing," "Do not enter," "No soliciting," "No loitering." And probably the best illustration that I can think of with regard to boundaries is that old song, "Signs." The sign said, long-haired freaky people need not apply. So I tucked my hair up under my hat and I went in to ask him why. The sign said, "Trespassers will be shot on sight." So I jumped on the fence and yelled at the house, "What gives you the right?" We as a congregation, we've chosen to describe ourselves as particular Baptist. And with that, we are drawing some boundaries with regard to fellowship. We are choosing with whom to fellowship and with whom not to fellowship. We will not fellowship with those who deny the Trinity. We will not fellowship with those who deny creation. We will not fellowship with those who redefine marriage and support abortion. But lest we get caught in the trap of only defining what we're not, we need to also define what we are and who we will fellowship with. And if a brother takes a stand that's unpopular, even though we may have some other areas that we disagree with him, we can still fellowship with him because he's taken a stand and drawn attention to himself because of that unpopular stand. So what does God say about boundaries? Well, Joshua 15 is all about boundaries. Joshua 15, we show the land being divided, and specifically to those tribes who settled west of the Jordan. Now, it's interesting, the very first tribe to get their apportionment, the very first tribe to get their inheritance is Judah. What's interesting about that? Well, Reuben was the oldest. Simeon was the second oldest. Levi was the third oldest. Judah is the fourth oldest of Jacob's sons. So it's I find it a little peculiar. Maybe you don't, but I find it a little peculiar that Judah, the fourthborn, would get his tribe would get his inheritance first. We've seen previously that Levi didn't get an inheritance, but rather they were given cities among the inheritance of the other tribes, and that pointed to the incarnation, that pointed to Jesus coming and dwelling with us, wrapping himself in flesh. Now Judah, that's the tribe that Caleb belongs to. We talked about him last week. Caleb was that outstanding, remarkable man who at 85 years old was just as strong, had just as many wits about him as he had 45 years earlier when he had gone out to spy out the land. And this 85-year-old, remarkable, outstanding man, He asked for his inheritance. He asked for a very specific inheritance. He didn't ask for the easy country. How many times do folks in our society decide, well, I'm going to retire, and that means I'm going to sit on the front porch in my rocking chair and just watch traffic go by. I'm just going to go to the lake every day and cast my rod in and see what happens. But this man, Caleb, he didn't go for the easy life. He didn't go for the easy country. This man, Caleb, he asked for giant country. He asked for giant country, and in his request for the giant country, in his request for the territory that terrified the rest of his day, he was pointing to Jesus. Because what do we know about Jesus? Jesus was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus is the one who slew the giants of sin, death, hell, and the grave. And he slew those giants for you and for me. As we look upon Joshua 15, let's begin reading the first 12 verses. The allotment for the tribe of Judah by their clans stretches southward to the border of Edom, to the Zin wilderness in the south. Their southern border runs from the southern tip of the Salt Sea to the south of the ascent of Akrabim. Crosses to Zin, rises south of Kadesh Barnea, crosses to Hezron, then rises to Adar, turns toward Karka, then crosses Asmon, goes out to the brook of Egypt, and then to the sea. This is your southern border. The eastern border is the Salt Sea up to the mouth of the Jordan. The northern border runs from the northern extremity of the Dead Sea at the mouth of the Jordan River, then rises to Beit Hagla, crosses north to Beit Araba, rises to the stone of Bohan, son of Reuben, and rises to Debir from the Achor Valley, turns northward till Gilgal, opposite the ascent of Adummim, south of the valley, and crosses the waters of En-Shemesh, and onward to En-Rogel. The border rises to the valley of Ben-Hinnom, to the southern slope of the Jebusites, that is, Jerusalem, then rises to the top of the hill west of the valley of Ben-Hinnom at the northern end of the valley of Rephaim. The border then turns from the top of the hill to the waters of Nephtoah and goes out to the cities of Mount Ephraim, then turns to Baalah, that is, Kiriath-Jearim. The border turns west to Baalah, to Mount Seir, crosses to the northern slope of Mount Jearim, that is, Kesalon, descends to Beit Shemesh and crosses to Timnah. The border goes out to the northern slope of Ekron, turns to Shikaron, crosses the mount to Mount Baalah, goes out to Jabneel, and ends at the sea. The western border was the coastline of the Mediterranean Sea. These were the borders surrounding the tribe of Judah, according to their clans. As we go to the Lord in prayer, let's think upon the detail that God gives in defining the borders for the tribe of Judah and how he defines borders for you and me individually, for us as a church, and for everyone who calls upon him. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for your goodness, for your grace. Lord, we thank you that you don't call us to an unbridled freedom, but you call us to a bridled freedom. You set clear boundaries for us. Boundaries that work toward our sanctification, that shape us into that which you want us to be. Lord, we pray that we would draw from this text timeless truths. From even a text that seems difficult, that may not immediately seem to lend itself toward application. But Lord, we know that all Scripture is good for reproof, rebuke, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Joshua gives you and me the boundaries. Southward, east, north, and west. These are Judah's boundaries. Judah, the fourthborn of Jacob's sons. Judah, the one from whom our Lord and Savior would descend. It's his inheritance first. Gets to lay claim to his property. And it's not accidental. It's not something that says, okay, just take whatever land out here. No, clear boundaries are set. You and me have clear boundaries as well. We don't believe in a greasy gospel that just lets us do whatever we want. We have the law and the gospel for a reason. Yes, Jesus died and was crucified. But why did he die for you and me? He died for you and me because we were sinners. Because we did not acknowledge those boundaries that he set for us. When he said, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me. He did not set, you and me did not acknowledge the boundaries he set when he said, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You and me did not acknowledge and recognize those boundaries and give them their due when he said, you shall not make for yourselves any graven image of anything in heaven, in the earth, or beneath the earth. You and me did not acknowledge those boundaries when he said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Judah was given boundaries. You and me are given boundaries. Even in the gospel, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So we see this inheritance is given to Judah first. Judah lays claim to their property first. And how does he lay claim? According to the commandment. Judah lays claim to his property according to the commandment. Verse 13. According to the word of the Lord, to Joshua, Caleb, son of Jephunneh, was given an allotment among the tribe of Judah, Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron. Arba was the father of Anak. Caleb drove out from there three Anakites, Sheshai, Ahiman, Talmai, descendants of Anak. He went up from there against the inhabitants of Debir. Before the name of Debir was Kiriath Sefer. Caleb said, I will give my daughter Aksah in marriage to whoever attacks Kiriath Sefer and captures it. Othniel, son of Kenaz, brother of Caleb, captured it. So Caleb gave him Aksah's daughter in marriage. When she came to Othniel, She urged him to ask her father for a field. She dismounted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her, "What can I do for you?" She answered, "Please give me a blessing, since you have given me land in the Negev. Now give me springs of water." So he gave her the upper and lower springs. This inheritance was by clan. You have the entire tribe of Judah. Then you have different factions. You might say that Judah was the grandfather, and then his sons were over the various clans. And each of his sons had an allotment amongst and within the borders of Judah. Caleb, that remarkable, outstanding 85-year-old man who was just as strong and had just as many wits about him as he had 45 years prior, who asked specifically for this giant country. He says, "Whoever defeats this people over here, whoever takes this land over here, I'll give my daughter in marriage." Othniel takes the land. Caleb gives his daughter in marriage, and his daughter says, "You know what, you've given this land, but this land is worthless without water. Give me these springs. Give me these springs so that we'll have water for our crops and water for our herds and water for our flocks and water for us, because without water, you have no life." And what is this? This is inheritance. 28:20-32. This is the inheritance of the tribe of Judah according to their clans. The cities at the southern extremity of the tribe of Judah toward the border with Edom were Kabzeel, Eder, Jagur, Kinah, Dimona, Adada, Kadesh, Hazor, Ithnan, Ziph, Telem, Beloth, Hazor, Hadat, Kiriath Hezron, that is Hazor, Amam, Shema, Moladah, Hazar Gada, Heshmon, Beit Pelet, Hazar Shual, Beersheba, Biziathiah, Bala, Iyim, Izim, El Talad, Kesil, Horma, Ziklag, Madmana, Sansana, Labia, Labaoth, Shilim, Ain, and Ramon. The cities numbered 29 with their villages. In the lowland were Ishtal, Zora, Ashna, Zanoah, Enganim, Tapua, Enam, Jarmuth, Adullam, Sokah, Ezekah, Sharaim, Adithaim, Gederah, Gederahim. 14 cities with their villages. Also, there were Zinan, Hadashah, Migdal Gad, Dilian, Mizpah, Jachtiel, Lachish, Baskath, Eglon, Kaban, Lamas, Kitlish, Gittereth, Beit, Dagon, Na'ama, and Ma'adah. 16 cities with their villages. Also, there were Libna, Eder, Ashan, Iftah, Ashna, Nazib, Kila, Akzib, and Markachah, 9 cities with their villages. Also, there were Ekron, its towns and villages, from Ekron to the sea, all the land near Ashdod and their villages. Ashdod, its towns and villages. Gaza, its towns and villages. As far as the brook of Egypt and Mediterranean Sea with its coast. I actually read further than I needed to. These tribes, these clans got their inheritance, and it stretched all the way down toward Edom. What do we know about Edom? Edom were the Edomites were the descendants of Esau. Remember Esau, the twin brother of Jacob? Esau, of whom God said, "Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated." And God gives Judah their land stretching all the way south next to Edom, next to those people who turned their backs on the Lord. And what did we notice there in 21 through 32? 29 cities and their villages. It would be easy to think, well, you know, this, yeah, there were giants in the land. There were folks who grew to larger stature. But this was a civilized people. They built cities and villages. They had vineyards and crops. Israel, up to this point, had been dispossessed. Israel, up to this point, had been a nomadic people. Israel, up to this point, had been a people without a land. And they're not fighting. They're not overtaking another people without a land. They are overtaking a people who are civilized, who have established civilization and built cities, who had government structures. And there, toward the south, toward the land of Edom, God gives these clans 29 cities and their villages. These folks were organized. The folks of the land were organized, and God gave them into the hands of the Edomites. Verse 33 through 47, we see that inheritance included the lowland, the valleys, the properties nearest the rivers. If you think about agriculture, if you think about crops, you want the lowland. Why do you want the lowland? Because in the spring of the year, when the rains come and the rivers overflow their bounds, then they move nutrient-rich silt over the land, making the land fertile. So God gives these people the lowland there in 33 through 47. We've already read through 46. We've already read all of that. In that lowland, there were 14 cities and their villages. In verse 33 through 36. In 37 through 41, we see another 16 cities and their villages. In 42 through 44, we see another 9 cities and their villages. In 45 through 47, we see from Ekron to Ashdod. 14 cities, 16 cities, 9 cities, and their villages. This was a well-organized, well-civilized land that God was giving to Israel. Israel, the least of all the peoples that we read elsewhere in Scripture, they were getting a land that was flowing with milk and honey. They were getting things that they hadn't had to work for. And they were getting it. Why? Because God was giving it to them. They were getting it. Why? They were getting it because of God's grace upon Israel. These boundaries that Judah has, in which 29 cities, 14 cities, 16 cities, 9 cities, from Ekron to Ashdod in the lowland, they demonstrate God's grace, just like you and me are recipients of God's grace. Every area of our... When God saved you and me, He didn't just save our soul. He saved every part of you. Because every part of you was affected at the fall. Every part of you is infected by sin. So when God saved you, He didn't just save your soul from death and hell. He saved every fiber of your being. What does the Scripture say? Taking every thought captive. Every part of your life receives God's grace. Not just the little things that we tend to forget, but the big things. Those big areas of life. 48 through 60, we see the hill country. What's the advantage? If the advantage of the lowland is that nutrient-rich soil from the spring rains that move that silt and enable crops to grow, what's the advantage of the hill country? The hill country, you can see out. You can see for a distance. Think about different lookouts, different parks across the country. Where up high, you can see for miles and miles and miles and miles. The advantage of the hill country is security. Because if you can see out from every direction for miles, you're not as likely to be attacked by an enemy. 48 through 60. In the hill country were Shamir, Jatir, Sokah, Danah, Kiriath, Sanah, that is Debir, Anab, Eshtemo, Anim, Goshen, Holon, Gilo, 11 cities with their villages. Also there were Arab, Duma, Eshin, Janim, Beit, Tepua, Ephekah, Humta, Kiriath, Arba, that is Hebron, and Zior, 9 cities and their villages. Also there was Maon, Carmel, Zif, Jutah, Jezreel, Jokdiam, Zenoa, Cain, Gibeah, and Timnah, 10 cities with their villages. Also there were Halhul, Bethzur, Gedor, Ma'arath, Beth Anath, and Eltikon, 6 cities with their villages. Also there were Kiriath Baal, that is Kiriath Jearim, and Rabbah, 2 cities with their villages. So did you hear that? In the hill country, there was 11 cities and villages in 48 through 51, 9 cities and villages in 52 through 54, 10 cities and villages in 55 through 57, 6 cities and villages in 58 and 59, and 2 cities and villages. This is truly a vast inheritance. This is not something that the Lord God is skimping on. The Lord God does not skimp with you and me. The psalmist would declare that the Lord has cattle on 1,000 hills. What belongs to God? Everything belongs to God. And everything you have is on loan from Him. You have the lowland, the hill country, the wilderness in 61 and 62. In the wilderness were Beit Arba, Midan, Sakah, Nibshan, City of Salt, and Engedi, 6 cities with their villages. But then you have a peculiar verse in 63. 63 says, the people of Judah were not able to drive out the Jebusites living in Jerusalem. So the Jebusites live with the people of Judah in Jerusalem to this day. Isn't it interesting that all of these cities that the Lord God gives to Judah, this vast land with these borders to the north and south and east and west, God gives over all these peoples, their cities, their crops, their fields, their vineyards, their herds, and their flocks to Israel, but the Jebusites. The Jebusites were a stubborn enemy. They dwelt with the people of Jerusalem up to the day that Joshua wrote this text. What's that say for you and me? That says that God does not totally and completely sanctify you in this life. You were justified at salvation. He looks at you just as if you've never sinned, but you still have a stubborn enemy. Romans chapter 7 deals with that. The things Paul wanted to do, he found himself not doing. The things he didn't want to do, he found himself doing. You have a stubborn enemy in the flesh that dwells with you to this day. So what does God say about boundaries? Boundaries are important to protect business, property, culture, religion, might I add character. Either you have or you need to set boundaries in your life today. What are the boundaries that you have? What are the boundaries that you need to set? Name them. Unless you put a name on the boundaries that you need to set, unless you put a name on the boundaries that you already have in your life, you don't have boundaries. If this chapter hadn't have included everything to the south, everything to the north, everything to the east, everything to the west, there'd be no boundaries. There would have been open borders for the people of Judah. They could have gone anywhere. But God set clear boundaries. He sets clear boundaries in your life. He sets clear boundaries in every area of your life. With regard to your character, with regard to your business dealings, with regard to how you interact with the community and the culture, how you and me practice our faith. Earlier, I shared about the boundaries that we as a congregation have in regard to fellowship. Who we fellowship with, who we exclude from fellowship. But that's not the only boundaries we have as a congregation. We have boundaries regarding our reach. Have we determined the boundaries of our reach as a congregation? Are we only a church for Versailles? Are we only a church for Dillsboro? Are we only a church for Holton? Are we interested in reaching the rest of Ripley County, Dearborn County, Decatur County, Jefferson County? Do we care that people are attending every other church in this area and yet they are experiencing a famine for the hearing of the Word of God? Do we care? What are the boundaries for the reach that we have as a congregation? I would submit that our boundaries are not far enough. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the boundaries that you place in our lives individually and corporately. Lord, we pray that we thank you that you use those boundaries for our good, showing us not only your strength, but our own weakness. Lord, reveal to us this morning areas in which we need to set stronger boundaries. Areas in which we need to set clearer boundaries. Show us this morning how we might extend the boundaries of the reach of this congregation. That we might be faithful, not only in our Jerusalem, but in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.